Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace, His Holiness, Chandramouli Swami Maharaj with us. And prior to our morning Srimad Bhagavatam call, I would hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji, who will give a brief introduction on Maharaj. Mataji, please take over.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj is the disciple of ISKCON founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and he is an initiating spiritual master within the ISKCON movement. Maharaj was born in New Jersey in 1947, and he came into Krishna consciousness, or came in contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in Denver, Colorado, at the age of 24. In 1973, he began practicing Krishna consciousness in New York City, and shortly thereafter began serving at the New Vrindavan Farm Community in West Virginia. That same year, he received initiation from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In 1986, His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj accepted the sannyas order and began preaching in Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio. In 1995, he began serving as a resident sannyasi in Chicago, where he was based until 2013, when he was relocated to Karlovac, Croatia. At present, Maharaj offers spiritual guidance around Europe, the USA, and India. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Maharaj has joined.
Okay. Hari Bol Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj, at your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharajas. Thank you so much for your association every other week. We are really, really grateful. Devotees, I would like to announce that Chandramouli Swami Maharaj is here with us, and he will continue to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 5, Chapter 8, verse number 16. Whenever you're ready, Maharaj, please take the call over. Hare Krishna.
Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Maham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pacharini Nirvishishu Sunyavari Pastyat Yade Satarine Panchakalpa Durubhischa Kripa Sindhu Ve Vachapatitanam Pagane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namaha Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So generally when we have the prose, we dispense with chanting the prose. We go right into the translation. Bharat Maharaj would think, alas, the deer is now helpless. I'm now very unfortunate. My mind is like a cunning hunter. It is always filled with cheating propensities and cruelty. The deer has put its faith in me just as a good man who has natural interest in good behavior forgets the misbehavior of a cunning friend and puts his faith in him. Although I have proved faithless, this deer will return and place its faith in me. Will this deer return and place its faith in me? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Bharat Maharaj was very noble and exalted, and therefore when the deer was absent from him, he thought himself unworthy to give protection. due to his attachment for the animal, he thought that the animal was a noble and exalted, and he is himself was. According to the logic of Atmavan Manyate Jagat, everyone thinks of others according to his own position. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj felt that the deer had left him due to his negligence, and that due to the animal's noble heart, he would again return. This is an interesting pastime. There's many instructive points throughout the entire pastime. It's one of the most instructive pastimes in the entire Bhagavatam in regards to the execution of devotional service, in that it teaches us certain principles that should be adopted and certain principles that must be carefully avoided. And one of the principles that should be avoided is that one should develop attachment for Krishna and not anything else. Attachment to anything else has value only when it's in relationship to Krishna. Attachment to anything else separate from Krishna is material and takes one's consciousness away from Krishna and away from devotional service. Attachment is life. One cannot give up attachment. Attachment is the principle of life, and desire is the foundation where attachment develops. So desire must be directed towards Krishna, devotees, and devotional service. Here we see, due to his soft-heartedness, which is a characteristic of a devotee, he became concerned about the protection of an uncared-for deer or baby deer. The mother had died right at childbirth, and now he was alone, and the deer was there. So he gave himself the obligation of protecting the deer. Of course, we understand that Krishna is the protector of all living entities. So Krishna protects the animals too. If we interfere with that protection, in the sense that we create difficulty in the life of an animal, then we somehow interfere with Krishna's protection and cause, what we say, harm to that living entity. Here, Bharat Maharaj was pretty much, he was on a very high platform of devotional service, as we heard from previous verses, that his devotion to Krishna was on a level of ecstasy and bhava. But now seeing this animal, he sort of developed a kind of a sentimental attraction to the animal. Because of his soft-heartedness, he misplaced that, in the sense that he took less importance to his worship of the Lord, his austerities, his penances, his purpose for going for the forest became put aside in order to care for the deer. Now the deer is somehow gone, and being attached to this deer, he starts to vilify himself, criticize himself, talk about himself as being negligent and unworthy. And now he's imagining all these things. And this is what happens on a material level. Imagination is a very big part of material life. Due to a certain situation, people imagine things that are not true, create things that are not true, and find themselves speaking things that are not true based on these imaginations. Prabhupada gives a very instructive statement here, which is part of a larger verse, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Because I think that way, you also think that way. Everyone sees, everyone should see the world as I see it. Or everyone does see the world as I see it. Or at least a section of people think like that. Or a section of people feel like that. Why can everyone not see the way I see? And even if they don't, they should. Everyone thinks of others according to their own position. Because I like this, it's likable by everyone. Atmavan manyate jagat. Because I believe something is true, why don't you believe it's also true? But that is not factual. It's simply a feature of the mind's projection. That's all. So he thinks that the deer has left him due to his own negligence. But because the deer is a very noble person, he'll again return. So all this, he's imagining all these things. Why can he get out of the imaginations? Because he's sentimentally attached to the deer, or attached to the deer's body. And you'll see, as the verses go on, how that attachment turns into something very almost sensual, and almost like a husband and a wife's attachment for each other, or lover, two lovers' attachment for each other. It almost comes like a loving relationship. Although that rasa cannot be developed between contrary species. And rasa is only kept connected in the same species. You can care for an animal and you can feel concern for the animal's protection. You may also develop some affection for that animal, but that affection is based on caring for them, if that is the responsibility one is placed in. But one cannot have a loving relationship with an animal. People try to do that also. And someday they also, but the animal doesn't respond in the same way, although they think the animal is responding in the same way. Just like somebody might have a loving relationship with their dog and the dog is licking their face, but the dog is thinking, boy, this guy, he smells really good and maybe he would be good for supper, you know. The animal doesn't have that same feeling towards the human being. The animal is thinking, you know, he smells like a good part of a recipe that I could, you know, get into. So the animal, you know, we try to have these loving relationships with animals, and it's just contrary to the arrangement of material energy. But there is some concern, and so due to his concern for the welfare of the animal, he doesn't know that God takes care of all living entities in any situation. That animal would have been taken care of by the Lord, even if Bart wasn't there. But he doesn't know that, because God gives protection to all living entities accordingly. There's one example of one great proponent of Srimad Bhagavatam. His name is Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami, prior to becoming a sannyasi, was a grihastha, and he was living with his family. Well, actually, he didn't have a family. He had a wife who was pregnant. And at the time of childbirth, the wife died, and there was no one else to take care of the child but him. So he was thinking, I want to take sannyas, and now I have the responsibility of taking this care of this child. And then he's thinking what to do. And then he sees a lizard crawling along. It's actually a baby lizard, a little tiny baby lizard. It fell from the mother. It just was born. And there the lizard is just there, little baby. And all of a sudden, a fly comes within the range of the lizard, and the lizard eats the fly. So seeing that, he got the understanding, yes, God takes care of all living entities. And he immediately left and took sannyas. Some people will take issue with that. But later on, he became such a great proponent of Srimad Bhagavatam that his commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam are considered to be the reference where all other commentaries start and develop. He is considered the commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, Sridhar Swami. So you see, his destiny was not to stay in family life and take care of children, but to become a great proponent of Srimad Bhagavatam. So God takes care of all living entities. There are elephants in the forest who don't have anybody to take care of. Now, elephant eats 40 kgs of food per day, which is about 82 pounds. Who's feeding it? God. The birds get up in the morning. When they get up, immediately they look for food. Who's arranging for them to get their food? The Lord. The Lord's arranging for everyone to get their necessities of life simply through the arrangement of material energy. And so here we see how he's lost that vision and he's become, sentimentally attached to a deer. And this sentimental, he actually leaves his body thinking of the deer, and in his next life, he becomes a deer. And that's coming up. It's really an interesting. So we can evaluate from this. I mean, one of the major qualities of a devotee is that he's soft-hearted. The same with Arjuna. When Krishna was on the battlefield just about to start the war with the Kurus, Arjuna became overwhelmed with concern for the welfare of the soldiers on the other side who were his family members. And his teachers were there, his grandfather was there, cousins, relatives, well-wishers, friends, people who he grew up with, people he loved, all were ready to fight against him. And therefore, he told Krishna, I'm not fighting. Became overwhelmed with emotion. Krishna saw what was happening and then instructed him. He said, Asocham anva socham stvam pratyavaram shibhasa se gatatsums akadatsums nanu shochandi panditaha. You're speaking learned words, but you're not understand that you do not know what is worthy of grief. Those who are wise never lament for the living nor the dead. Arjuna's good qualification was he was soft-hearted, but Krishna criticized that soft-heartedness because he gave up his service to Krishna based on this material attachment. And later on, after being instructed by Krishna, it was clear to him that the best service that he could perform for his friends and well-wishers and for Krishna was to fight on behalf of religious principles. So the Lord is the author of morality and civility. For the Lord, there is no morality or civility. He lives according to his own principles, which sometimes many times are in accordance with the moral and ethical principles that we follow in day-to-day life. But in sometimes they go contrary, like in this battle of Kurukshetra. They seem to go contrary. What was Arjuna's good quality? He was soft-hearted, but his soft-heartedness took him away from his intelligence. So sentiment is good, but it should be coupled with intelligence. When intelligence guides sentiment in the right direction, then the outcome is always auspicious. But if one does not have intelligence or cannot understand a situation intelligently and is moved simply by emotion, emotion is very strong and sometimes it overshadows intelligence a lot of times. We have the example of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was very attached to his family members, his sons, especially his main sons, Dushasana and Duryodhana. And therefore, he knew his sons were wrong. He was advised by his younger brother, Vidura. Vidura gave him wise counsel, but he couldn't hear. And he even said, you know, I know what you're saying is correct, but I can't follow it. I can't follow it. Why? Because I'm attached to my family members. They're wrong, but that's my attachment. Of course, later on, he became sober and understood things clearly. But at that particular time, so Dhritarashtra was the prime example of attachment, knowing this attachment was contrary to what Krishna wanted and what was best for everyone. So there's an example where intelligence is even given and one cannot accept it. Just like you see on the package of the cigarettes when they sell in the marketplaces, it says, you know, it used to say smoking causes lung cancer, emphysema, complications in pregnancy, and so many other things. Now they don't put that anymore. They put smoking kills. Just two words, just big letters. And still, you know, the cigarette industry is still very profitable. Knowing that this is harmful for my health, the biggest cause of cancer in the world is lung cancer caused by cigarette smoking. That is an actual fact. This has been corroborated by doctors. And still, people smoke. If you tell a person that they shouldn't smoke, they might get angry at you, or they might feel bad knowing that you're right, and at the same time, they can't stop. So our attachments, if they're not directed towards something that is beneficial, which means uplifting our consciousness towards Krishna, ultimately they will lead us to more and more material entanglement and many, many problems. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people know, well, I know this is right, but I can't do it. That's called Hridaya Labdha. It means called weakness of the heart. Knowledge is there, but intelligence is overshadowed by emotional or material attachments. So you see that in this same situation here. He's very much overwhelmed with taking care of this deer at the expense of everything, so much so that he gives up his puja, his worship, his devotional activities, and focuses all his attention on this deer. And of course, later on, he regrets it when he gets another birth as a deer. He remembers his past life. So, if we remain attached to anything in this material world, it's the cause of another birth in this material world. It may be a good birth because we are devotees, engaged in devotion, but still another birth means more and more struggle, more and more difficulties, and more time wasted, unnecessarily struggling with the material energy. So one should regularly hear from Shastra, from Guru, and ask questions that are relevant to one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. We like to hear philosophical knowledge, but we're afraid to face our attachments. But one who's actually intelligent wants to know, what are my attachments and how to remove those attachments. And you can ask another devotee, what is my attachments? You know, if he's your friend or she's your friend, they'll tell you. If they're simply a sentimental friend, they'll say, oh, you're so nice and everything about you is so nice. They're not doing you any favor by that. Of course, they shouldn't do it in a critical way, but one should ask. I remember we did a exercise in the Chicago temple with Bhakti Tirtha Swami. That was back in the beginning of the century. And Maharaj was conducting a kind of like a workshop demonstration in understanding our relationship with each other and what are the characteristics and qualities that are needed for developing these relationships. So at one point he set up a particular workshop where he invited everyone to pair off in twos, and you had to ask the other person, tell me what's wrong with me. And then you get a chance to, and then the other person do it. Now, that was a little hard for some people, and some people didn't do it. They just didn't want to go down that road. But for those who did it, you know, it's attack on the false ego, of course, obviously. The false ego thinks, I'm okay, everything's okay with me. Maybe I have some problems, but they're not so important. And, I'll get to them sometime or other. The false ego will make you think everything is all right, he's in control, and even if there's something not right, don't worry, we'll fix it in due course of time, like that. But the longer a material attachment remains, the stronger it gets, and this is a factor. So therefore, we should emphasize and cultivate attachment to Krishna. Yeah. His attachment to Krishna was strong, but he hadn't reached prema yet. Because he hadn't reached prema, there was still that element of a tendency that was covered that he again became attracted to something in the material world. And that attraction caused him to take two more births, one as a deer, and then the next birth as Judd Bart, who was aware of his previous births, and he lived his life in such a way that he avoided everything material and ultimately went back home, back to Godhead. So, this is a very interesting pastime, and you'll see how it plays itself out. That we have to get attached to Krishna, and the way you get attached to Krishna is by serving Krishna and by hearing about Krishna. By hearing about Krishna means reading about Krishna, hearing narrations about the pastimes and activities, qualities, and associates of Krishna. Learning about the nature of Krishna, how he deals with people, how he deals with the material energy, how he conducts his own self in relationship to his eternal devotees. There's a whole world of knowledge all about Krishna. And we want that knowledge because that will take our consciousness into Krishna. And when you're in Krishna, you're above the material energy. And if you keep that consciousness and develop it, and ultimately then when the time comes to leave the body, you'll be back with Krishna in the spiritual world. And that is the perfection of life, because then all our desires completely, eternally are fulfilled. So here we see what we need to avoid, and that is sentimental or material attachments. So make the intelligence strong by reading Shastra, by hearing from great souls, and by repeating that this knowledge to others. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so very much for another wonderful class. I'm always so grateful when you come on the call because your classes are always so comprehensive, but you have such a special way of saying things that always land on me in a very deep way. I really appreciated the points that you made about the way that you put every animal is under Krishna's protection. So when we do something, you know, to put them in distress or harm them, we're actually, you know, trying to interfere with Krishna's protection. And that just gave me another way to look at it, because I'm always, you know, trying to protect animals. And when I talk to other people about it, they don't quite get it, you know, the same way that I do. But that was a very, very powerful way to get that across. I also very, oh, God, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay. And I also very much appreciate all of the things you just said about attachment, especially the comment about, you know, how strong emotion is. And oftentimes, you know, emotion can overcome our intelligence. And also the distinctions you made about, you know, for us to try to avoid not just material attachment, but also sentimental attachment. That's really, really hit me in a very big way. You know, as a mother and as a woman, you know, we tend to be sentimental about certain things that, you know, aren't necessarily so helpful to our Christian.
Yeah, there is spiritual sentiment, and that is the nature. Emotion is the highest principle of bhakti also, but unless emotion is guided by intelligence, it can go in any direction. So we want sentiment, we want an emotion, but it has to be guided accordingly. Otherwise, it could go in any direction and be seen as something good or spiritual, and it may not be. So therefore, we have to hear regularly and understand and reflect on basically what we hear. When knowledge reaches a certain point and guides emotion, then on the highest platform you see, emotion takes over completely. But that's perfection. And you have the example of the gopis. The gopis are simply emotionally attached to Krishna completely. But they have gone through the period of intelligence to reach that stage of pure emotion. But unless we go through that stage, then there's still elements of material attachment that can enter into our emotional expressions. And that's what the example you had with Arjuna. And Arjuna is the prime example of that. But emotion is the highest form of bhakti. It's about loving Krishna. And love is the highest and most strongest emotion. But unless it's guided through the process, through different stages, go off to the side and see something that is material as being spiritual. And that's what Bharat Maharaj said. He may be thinking that his attachment to the deer was spiritual. but it wasn't, because it led him away from his spiritual practice. Therefore, it was material.
Yes, okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, because I think that sometimes we look at our protection of animals or our care for animals as something spiritual, and without having the proper
kind of... Well, that animal is also a spirit soul. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, you know, it's a nice little cuddly pussycat. It's actually, it's a spirit soul who has come by the arrangement of God for some reason into our association. So we can also take care of it. But then again, taking care of it means, you know, giving it what it needs to live nicely. And because it's a spirit soul, we can also give it Krishna consciousness through the process of spiritual vibrations. That's the benefit. We can make it, you know, Lord Chaitanya brought two dogs back to Godhead. Of course, we're not Lord Chaitanya. He brought a tiger. He made tigers in the Jerry kind of forest dance, bears, tigers, elephants. So we're not on that level, but we can provide spiritual vibrations for the animals, and so they can become a little purified. And if they live their life in the association of devotees and die in that situation, it's a very good chance, probably a very good chance, they'll... Not very good. It's probably guaranteed they will take a human birth in their next life. Maybe in a very good family too. So we can elevate that soul that's in that body of our animal along the path of evolution, where they can skip many of the other steps and get a higher birth.
I also wonder, but is it important to also keep that distinction that they are an animal, and that so that we don't have that kind of attachment, like you were saying with Bharat Maharaj, where his attachment started to become a little too...
It's more like caring for the animal. It's more like a nurturing. Bart almost, you can see in the remaining verses, it's almost like he had attachment, like a husband and wife have attachment for each other. His attachment went so into that area that you'll see in the verses that come up how much he laments when the deer doesn't come back. It's like loss of his wife or something. Mm-hmm. His attachment went in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when I used to have a dog, he passed away a couple of years ago, and I was I loved him very much and took very good care of him. But, you know, it was very clear to me that he was my pet and not my, you know, sometimes my friends would say, oh, he's like your child. And I'd say, no, he's not my child. He's my dog. I take good care of him. I love him, but he's not my child, so...
Yeah, it's a caring thing, but it's not, you know, it's nothing more than that. Just like we care for people in order to bring them closer to Krishna. That's real compassion, that's real care. Not simply this bodily connection. Bodily connection is based on just a certain feature of sentiment that comes and goes. Because that bodily connection could be there for other persons or other living entities too. Doesn't mean just because I have this particular dog or cat or this one is special. It's special because I have it. But if I had another one, that wouldn't be special too. So that's it's the nurturing thing. It's the spiritual thing. You know, keep it connected to sound vibration. That's the best thing. And give it prasadam. Mm-hmm. Those two things, if you do, then you're helping that soul move forward.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You have time to give me such wonderful answers. I appreciate
it. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your wonderful class, and thanks for such enlightening examples that you gave, and pragmatic, very pragmatic. And we all know that how this attachment turns into an addiction, and we know it, yet it's so difficult to come out of that attachment. It's a wonderful class, Maharaj. Thank you.
Just wonderful to get attached to Krishna, that's...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Very, very nice, Maharaj. Very, very nice. And I think we keep trying. So the modes of material nature, it attacks us so bad. So in the morning time, we think, oh, it's wonderful. We are attached to Krishna's holy name. But when we go back to work or doing something work, and then unknowingly, we think that we crave for this, we crave for that. It's interesting how
material attachments go are long-term, and they go very deep. Not always on the surface. Mm. Our attachment for Krishna is even deeper, but it, because it's more covered, it seems to be less available or less there within our life. But our material attachments are more on the surface or just below the surface.
Right. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you so much for your wonderful explanations. Devotees, if we have any questions, we can either unmute our phone or we can raise hand, whatever you want.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Dandavat Pranam. Such a beautiful, beautiful class, Maharaj. I have a question, Maharaj. Can I ask? Hare Krishna Maharaj, when you are talking about Bharat Maharaj's story, Bharat Maharaj has to take two more lives, but in the animal life, he was remembering everything, and he was always in the sage's place. But if we see Gajendra could go back to Godhead with the animal body, why was Bharat Maharaj had to take another birth? Can you please make me understand, Maharaj? Hare Krishna.
Well, using the example of Gajendra offered beautiful prayers that he had remembered in a previous life when he was a king. He was a king named Indrajumna. He had fallen from a human birth into this animal birth because of some, I can't remember why. But he remembered somehow as an animal, he remembered prayers from his human form of life. Why is it different in this situation? Because he hadn't reached prema yet. He fell short when he was in his body as Bharat Maharaj. He didn't reach the stage of prema. He had reached the stage of bhava. And in the deer's body, all he did was avoid... All he did was hear from sages. He would just go by the sages as a deer. He stayed away from other deers also. So obviously he was undergoing more and more purification, but it wasn't pure enough. And so he was forced to take that next birth as Jadva Bharat. And in that birth, he was completely recollective of his previous lives, even as his life as a deer. And he simply acted completely like a madman. He was jada. Jada means dumb. He acted like a deaf and dumb person who has no intelligence, but he was that because he didn't want to get entangled in material life. So obviously in that deer's body, he didn't reach the stage of, you know, prema. But Gajendra somehow or other did by the mercy of the Lord. You have to study their previous births, especially Gajendra's, to see. Or you might also say that he had a mission to come back and purify King Rahugana, which he did. Some people say, of course, I only heard this once. I'm not sure how authoritative it is. So don't take it as authority, but it's interesting. Some people say that that deer took birth as King Rahugana. And Jag Bhart being Bhart Maharaj, so the same two people were again together in different bodies.
Maharaj, thank you so much for beautiful explanation and very, very nice class. I really like the point where you are telling that the friend is the one who explains what's wrong with us, not always, you know, just says that, oh, you're good, you're good. Thank you so much, Maharaj. I'll try to work on that. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
The Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. I have like a little question about that, the thing forward, going forward, about the, I should bring it closer. In the Dimna Maharaj, he was cursed by, I forgot the name of the scene. So to become a, because he was doing tapasya and he was in the meditation. And that time, the one son, Rishi came, and Rishi just saw that he's just sitting and doing nothing, and he's not even, I'm not welcoming him or giving some water or anything. So he's acting like a dumb animal, elephant. So he curses him. So, but then he was performing devotional service in the Dimna Maharaj, and he was also doing some prayers to them. So those prayers in a body of a Gajendra, he remembered and he offered those prayers. And the Lord came and saved him and, you know, just took him, sent him back to Vaikuntha. So what would be about the Bharat Maharaj? About the Bharat Maharaj in a body of a deer, he couldn't offer prayer or anything, something like that?
It doesn't say, we don't really know whether he offered prayers or not. There's no indication anywhere. To say he didn't may be wrong, and to say he did may be wrong. We don't know. But we know that sadhu sangha was his main thing, to associate with the sadhus. And he would listen to their discourses.
Thank you, Maharaj.
That was his saving grace. He knew where to go for association. And Krishna protected him because it was an accidental fall down.
Yeah.
It wasn't due to any offenses. It was just due to weakness of heart.
Oh, so okay. So in the Divine Maharaj, it considered like that was offense, not welcoming the Rishi while in his meditation.
If you go deeper into that pastime, you'll find that was a benediction because in the next life he went back to Godhead.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Augusta Muni is one of the
Yes. Because
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thanks.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, I have a question. Even though I go through some bad habits, even though we know that we have to keep them away, but still the mind, when you try to avoid them, mind tends to bring them back or tries to make you very anxious, trying to go away from them. And but how to overcome that impetus? And
you have to control the mind by the intelligence and place the intelligence in Krishna. That's all. And bhakti yoga is a moment by moment activity of keeping the mind directed towards Krishna. As soon as you're not directed towards Krishna or devotional service, the mind will go to something material. And generally it goes to something that it likes or something that is disturbing, either one. If you have to solve a problem, you can do that. But at the same time, we should all understand that our real problems are solved by the power of our devotional service. So the whole process of bhakti yoga is directing the mind towards Krishna. Now, the example was Ambarish Maharaj, who used everything in the service of the Lord. So, yeah, if we allow the mind to go in different directions, it can go anywhere.
Sometimes it's such a big struggle, and even though you know you're not supposed to do it, you tend to avoid it, but you know that's wrong, but still it kind of drags you that way. And if you try to
avoid it, the false ego says, I can solve it. Or the false ego likes it. And there's a subtle, there also might be subtle attachments to that particular thought, even though it may be partially unpleasant, there is some attachment there. Replacing negativity is done by focusing on Krishna or something positive. Or any thought that is material simply has to be directed to Krishna. This Krishna consciousness is not something that is part-time. If you try to perform it part-time, that's what you'll get. You'll get that much out of it. As Krishna says, yayatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajami aham. As you approach me, I reward you accordingly. So those who are constantly, he said, those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them, he says, I personally give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So keeping your mind focused on Krishna means awakening our attachment for Krishna. As attachment develops, attraction becomes stronger, and as attraction becomes stronger, it turns into affection. As affection develops and becomes full, it turns into pure love. Then there's no question about anything else but Krishna or Krishna's service. It's a process. But if we allow our mind to go into material things and we waste time with trying to solve things we can't solve, because you can't solve things in the mind anyway. I find even if you have a material problem, forget about it, just chant Hare Krishna. And then Krishna at one point will show you the solution automatically. Not that you don't even have to try to think about it. The answer will come to you automatically. Focus on Krishna, everything is positive. Even dealing with material energy becomes easy or normal.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Any last minute questions for Maharaj?
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhagavate Namaha Bhagavate Namaha Namacharya Padaya Nita Guru Vena Gaurakara Ramana Nayana Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhagavate Namaha Bhagavate Namaha Bhagavate Namaha Namacharya Padaya Devi Gaurakara Ramana Nayana
Hari Paul, Prabhuji, Mataji, we cannot hear you.
Lalita Tangi, please begin again.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to your grace for your association. Very wonderful class, Maharaj. Each and every line is so precious, loaded with your realizations and experience. Thank you so much, Maharaj. So I was wanting to know more about that exercise that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj did, asking everyone to pair and ask what's wrong with me. So that's so interesting. Could you tell more what happened?
Not everybody participated. He kind of shocked everybody with that one. It was a test. I mean, he prefaced the whole thing by explaining the benefit of this particular thing. And he also explained how we should be done in the proper mood and not in the critical way, but with concern and with compassion towards the person. But it's shocking for some of us. Some were shocked, you know, to hear. And they said a lot of people knew that what people were saying was correct. Because, you know, we don't see ourselves like other people see us.
You know.
We think we're okay. We look in the mirror and we smile. We think, you know, I'm number one.
Yeah.
So a little bit of you know, it's like there's those and there was a one king, I think it was, I forgot his name, but he had a jester, which was like assistant too. And he would always, it was like, he would ask the jester, you know, sometimes kings, you know, they get caught up in all kinds of material things, so they need a little break, something to give them some humor or something more relaxing. So he would keep this one gesture, and then sometimes he would ask him a question. And the jester would always come back with something critical. For instance, people, what's the difference between you and an ass? So Gopal took out a measuring stick and measured the distance between him and the king, and he said, 6 feet. So the king liked that, you know. It's kind of witty, but at the same time. So You know, sometimes we need somebody, you know, if we're married, it's not a problem. You get it all the time, right? But for sannyasi, sometimes we have to, you know, make arrangements to get it.
That is so nice. Thank you, Maharaj. And I like the line that you said, the longer the attachment is, the stronger it becomes. Yeah. That is so, yeah, that's food for thought today.
As soon as we recognize an attachment, we should be thinking to purify it, to get it directed towards Krishna or get rid of it like that immediately. It'll grow as long as when it stays. And when you think about it, it grows even faster. There's things that we're not supposed to be looking at or doing, but we have a curiosity towards that out of just because we don't know about it. So, you know, it's dangerous to try to explore that area because we know it's not right, but we're curious about what it's about. And then we find ourselves in a very... The best thing to avoid these things is good association. Because when you're in good association, it's very unlikely you'll fall into the, you know... So marriage can also be a way of having someone there to help you when you go through these different attachments. Friendship, relationships, like that. It's always good.
Yes, Mara, that's very true. We may put up a face, I mean, my point, to the others as a devotee, but the close family members, the husband and children who are watching us 24 hours being with us, there's no escaping with them. We can't act always. So they will know what it is. So that way it's very right. When the family is devotees and you're staying with them and they see you, that's very good for improvement. Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah, but in order to make sure things develop in the right way, everything should be done with care and a concern and affection and not simply out of annoyance. If somebody's doing because it annoys you, or somebody's not doing something and it annoys you, that annoyance is more like an expression of a false ego rather than helping them overcome their situation. I've seen marriages ruined like that, where there's something wrong with the person, but rather than dealing with it in the right way, they just get into, because they've developed some familiarity, you just tell each other directly. And a lot of times that doesn't work. You want to ruin a marriage? Just tell your husband what to do all the time. If you want your husband to do something, you have to make him come to that decision by what you do with him. That's the secret of marriage. The wife can tell the husband, but without telling the husband. Yeah, the women, they know that art. I don't really know it so good, but if the women tell their husbands what's wrong with them, because I heard one husband told me, not told me, but the wife told me about this. She said that I would tell my husband what to do, and he would say, you know, what you're telling me to do, I know it's right, but because you're telling me, I can't do it.
Exactly.
That's called the male ego. That's the male ego. So the wife has to know how to do it in such a way that it's very sweet, loving, and he comes to Abaya by his own choice. See, I know a little bit about marriages. not so much. But anyway.
No, since you're transcendental to it, you can see it from like an elevation viewpoint, Maharaj. You can see everything. We are in it. We cannot see everything.
I see it because people talk to me about it. That's why. And if the husband wants to help his wife, he should do it in a sweet way, by giving her flowers, nice, you know, jewelry, saris, good food, a lot of compliments, rather than pushing her into a corner and telling her she's wrong this way, that way, this way, that way. He has to do it in a very sweet but direct way. But the wife can't do it directly with the husband. She has to do it in a less direct way.
That makes so much sense, Maharaj. Very true.
With male and female psychology. You know, it's all in Prabhupada's books. It's not like we're coming from something secular or material. It has certain elements there, but it's actually part of our philosophy. Srimad Bhagavatam deals with everything. Every subject that you need to know is there in Bhagavatam.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you for being you.
You are so merciful, Maharaj. Because of your association, we are trying to improve, not wasting this human life. So all glories to you, Maharaj.
I need to do the same thing. That's why everyone gives me a chance to speak something so I can learn something from what I speak.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Nano Pranama, Goshta Srila Prabhupada Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class and very nice instructions you gave. Thank you so much.
Hare Gaur, Shyama Gauri. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anybody has a question? Sri Devi Mataji.
Thank you. Please accept my humble obeisances, Guru Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you, Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, this was such an illuminating class and really a big eye-opener to look at our own attachments and how they may be blocking us. My question is about having an attachment for our family members to become devotees. Is it an attachment to think, oh, I really want my daughter to become a devotee. I want my dad to become a devotee. I want them to take Krishna consciousness seriously. And then does that make us very pushy and preachy, and that's an attachment?
No, Prabhupada wanted the whole world to be Krishna conscious. What to speak of a couple of people. But he knew how to do it. Question is, do you know how to do it? And that's understanding the psychology and nature of the person you're trying to help. There's different, you know, there's different ways to get to approach the same problem depending on the details. You don't always relate to everything in the same way, because people are different, situations are different. No, it's bad if that is the concern, then the concern should be how to do it in such a way that it's accepted. If it's not accepted, if it's like, well, I'm the mother and you're the daughter, that's not going to work. Because now she's grown up and she's a lady herself. She's no longer, in one sense, a daughter. She's a friend. That's Chanakya Pandit. Treat her like a friend, then you have better relationships. In order to make a difference with a person, you have to establish a relationship with them. If you don't establish relations, or if the relationship has been broken or interrupted, then first thing to do is repair the relationship, then before you can move forward on trying to help in any way. You know, two people can say the same thing, two different people can say the same thing to the same person, and that person will accept it from one and not accept it from the other. Everything is very personal. So you have to develop that relationship.
Yes, Guru Maharaj, I can see that I'm the person who has to do the work of changing myself so that I don't come across as someone pushing something onto them, but they see that there's something valuable here for me.
I'll give you an example. You know, Prabhupada didn't like devotees, you know, growing beards. He spoke against that. But he knew when the devotee would be there, if he somehow said something directly to them, they might go farther away. So Prabhupada knew in order to develop a better relationship, because sometimes even the guru thinks, well, that's my disciple and I should tell them what to do. But disciples don't always accept what the guru says because their attachments are stronger than their relationship with their spiritual master. So what Prabhupada did with one person, he came in with a big beard and came to see Prabhupada and see. Prabhupada just gave him some service. He said, can you do this for me? And he was happy to do something. And based on that service, a relationship started to develop again. Like that. Like what I did to one disciple. It's kind of funny. I don't know how much it works. But this disciple doesn't chant. He doesn't chant much. He's not initiated. He's an aspiring disciple. He doesn't chant. So I'm giving a class, and I'm talking about the holy name. And I'm glorifying Krishna in his name. And he's in the class. And there's about 70 people in the class. So at one point I said, and I pointed to him, and I said, he's a perfect example for someone who really likes to chant Hare Krishna. But it was completely wrong, you know. And some people who were listening online were laughing like crazy. And others were thinking, what is he saying? But I did that just to inspire him to chant by putting him in that situation. So sometimes, you know, if I tell him chant Hare Krishna, he'll say, oh yeah, Maharaj, I know you're right. But that's all. So attachments go deep, and it's all about establishing relationships.
I can see that, Guru Maharaj. I can see that one must become very expert in understanding how to reach the heart of that person, and that takes a lot of self-reflection and prayer and deep.
It takes knowing the person.
Right. Yes, Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much. Beautiful answer. Thank you so much for your guidance.
Yeah, human psychology is very complex.
Yes, Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Especially in this age, people are not so much fixed on relationships. Okay, anything else before we end our session?
That's it.
Trying to speak for some time.
Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Jai Dear Govinda Ji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Maharaj. Radhe Radhe, Dandavat.
Hare Krishna. Radhe Radhe.
We can end now. One shakal patarubhyasya kripa sindhu deva cha.
Gita nam bhavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo
namo namo.
The Lita and Dina Bandhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Guru Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you for your
assistance. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Another pranam, Maharaj.
You have a wonderful program going. Keep going. It's such an important thing, having Bhagavatam every day for devotees. It's so edifying and so necessary in our spiritual practice. And it keeps the devotees together.
Centered
on the philosophy and Krishna. It's really important. Thank you. And that's all due to the I'm not sure. I guess Shyamagauri is one of the first to start it, but
no, Maharaj.
Keep it going. Yeah.
Yeah. We need your blessings, Maharaj.
I'll be here every 2 weeks. Hare Krishna, all right. Thank you, and we'll see you soon. The weather is getting warm, so don't stay in the house.